All right, so we've been talking about the seven steps to the highest kind of faith, and we're getting close to the end. Talking about that we need to know the authority in the name of Jesus. That we know the authority in the name of Jesus. This is the seventh step. And so we've talked on that, touched on that. Why don't you turn really quick to Mark 16:15. Let's turn there. We'll read that verse of Scripture, and then we'll go on. Mark 16:15. Thank you, Lord. Everybody there, Mark 16:15. It says there, he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name they will cast out demons, they will speak with new tongues, they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. So in my name they will cast out demons, in my name they will speak with new tongues, in my name they will take up serpents, and if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Praise God. And then Luke 10:17, real quick, turn over there, Luke 10:17. Matthew 10:17 says, then the 70 returned with joy, saying, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Notice that. And he said to them, I saw Satan fall like lightning from heaven. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing but shall by any means hurt you. Nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. So you can see from the context here, in verse 17 says, Lord, even the demons are subject to us in your name. Verse 18, or verse 19, skip there. Behold, I give you authority to trample on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. So you can tell he's not talking about literal serpents and scorpions, because he says, and over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you. And then he says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to your name. So it's clear he's talking about spirits and demons in when he's talking about serpents and scorpions. It says, nevertheless, do not rejoice in this, that the spirits are subject to you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Thank you, Lord. So we have authority over the devil. We have authority over any demonic activity. We've read several of these scriptures the last couple weeks about our authority over Satan, and that we have authority over Satan. Let's run through those real quick. We're not going to, well, we'll see how much time we take on each one, but I'm planning on just reading them kind of to get us in the same place. Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18. Matthew 28:18. Everybody there? It says, and Jesus came and spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. He said, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. And then he said, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit. So he said, all authority has been given to me. And then he said, you go and you make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and in the Holy Spirit. So we are commissioned to go into all the world, into all the nations. Jesus said, all authority has been given to me. Okay? It's all been given to me. And I'm commissioning you to go. This is the way it happens in the natural, right? So, you know, like I lead a team of software engineers at work in my day job. And so if I'm commissioned to go get something done, I'm responsible for getting that done, then I go in turn and say, all right, this is what we're going to do. I've been given authority in that area to say, this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. Because that authority has been given to me, and then I'm taking it, and I'm going on and using that to get something done. Well, that's the same thing. We understand that very well in the natural. You know, the president has authority. He's our commander-in-chief. He has authority to direct the armed forces. Now, certain things he needs to get support of Congress and so on and so forth, but he is the commander-in-chief. He has authority. The governor of our state has authority to get things done. He's been given authority because we've voted, elected him, you know, or a lady in some cases, and then that person has authority to carry out things, the powers of their office. And you see this over and over in the natural, and this is, authority is from God. That doesn't mean everybody in authority is put there by God, but the structure of authority is godly. God put in authority into the earth. And so that's why when you see people rejecting authority left and right, that's a problem. Because if they reject authority in general, a lot of times then they don't submit to God either, and that's a problem. That's why our children, you want your children, you're training them when you have them obey you. You're training them to obey God. Kids, young people, when you're obeying your parents, you're submitting them to them as unto God. Ephesians 6:1 says, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That God put that into place, and when you obey your parents, you're obeying the Lord, because at some point you won't have to obey your parents. You're going to be out on your own making your own decisions, and at that point you're going to have to answer to God. That doesn't mean you negate your parents. You still honor your parents, but you don't have to obey them. You're an adult. But if you haven't practiced obeying your parents, you won't. When God tells you to do something, you're going to react very much like you do your parents. And so if you're used to being rebellious with your parents or saying, well, why? Then this is why kids today, they go, well, why, God? And then they don't do it. Big kids. That's why a lot of people, they don't want to submit. They don't want to be in a church. Submit is not a dirty term. Now, people have gone whacked out with it at times, just like people pretty much do with anything. You know, just because somebody went in the ditch with something doesn't mean it's wrong. Because people go in the ditch either way on everything. It's just human nature, and we don't have to. But just because some people do does not mean there's not a biblical truth. But God gave authorities in the earth, and specifically then, Jesus has all authority. And so for us really to understand what's going on and for us to take our authority, we have to know how to be under authority. And when we're always thinking we don't want to submit to anybody, which all that means is I may not agree with everything you're saying, but I place myself under. It means to rank under. So that means like in the military, I haven't been in the military, but you know, I know enough to know there are ranks. And that's a military term that means to rank under. That means if somebody gives an order and he or she's above you, you do it, whether you think it's right or not. You say, okay, yes, sir. Right? Well, it's like that in the body of Christ. You know, it doesn't mean you just jump up and down about everything necessary. You agree with everything all the time. Submitting, you're not submitting unless you don't agree. If you agree, you're just in agreement. You're saying, yeah, I'll do that. Submitting happens when you don't agree and you'll do it anyway. That's real submission. And so just because some people say, well, I'll do anything God wants me to do. But then God will deal with them about something. They'll be like, well, I don't know about that. Well, what you're saying is, I'll do whatever you want me to do, Lord, as long as I like it. As long as I want to do it too. Well, that's not the same. That's not submitting. Submitting comes when the Lord deals with you to do something and you say, okay, it's not what I would really like, but yes, sir, I'll do that. That's submission. That's putting your will under the Lord's. And a lot of people don't want to do that. That's why a lot of people find it convenient not to believe in God, because if there's no God, they don't have to submit to Him. And they're not accountable for the life. The fact is, they are, whether they know it or not. They can try to talk God away and say He's not existent and try to salve their conscience, but the fact is, He's real. And they're going to have to deal with Him sooner or later. I'd rather deal with Him sooner and just be on His side and submit to Him and have all the good that He has for me now on this earth. Why go through life resisting the very one that came to give you life and that has good things for you? So God gave Jesus, the name of Jesus, all authority in the earth. And then He said, now you. So you have to understand this. If you're going to talk about using the name of Jesus, you have to understand that Jesus has been given all authority, and He said, all right, I've been given all authority. Now you are my body. You know, go look in Ephesians. Go look in those first few chapters how it talks about that we are the body of the Christ. He is the head. And we are the body. Well, He's the head, and the Bible says He's been given all authority, and so He says, now you, as my body, go get the job done. And He's giving us and delegating His authority to get it done in His name. It says, in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you go get the job done. In other words, I have all the power and the authority, and now you're my body, you're my bride, you're the body of Christ. Now you go preach. You go get the job done. And He delegated authority to us. Can you see that? That's why you have the right to go around the earth. That's why you have the right to use the name of Jesus, because that power was given to Jesus. We didn't earn it. We didn't go die on the cross. We're not the Son of the living God, but He is. And when we believe in Him, the Bible says we've been given the right or the authority to be called sons of God. Let's look at that real quick. Look over in John. Praise God. I think God's helping us just to see these things a little bit clearer tonight. I can tell. Praise you, Lord. John 1. Praise you, Lord. John 1:1 says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through Him, and without Him nothing was made that was made. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shines in the darkness, and the darkness did not comprehend it. Now look down in verse 9. It says, that was the true light, which gives light to every man coming into the world. He was in the world, and the world was made through Him, and the world did not know Him. Speaking of Jesus, the Word. He came to His own did not receive Him. But as many as received Him. Have you received Him? So this is talking to you. This is talking to me. For as many as received Him, to them He gave the right or the authority to become children of God. I really like that scripture. I love that scripture. As many as received Him, to them He gave the right or the authority. He gave you authority. He gave you the right to become children of God. Why? Because you did something so great? No, because you believed in Him and you received Him. You opened your heart to him. You received him into your life and you said, Lord, I believe you are the Son of God. You are the one who came to save the whole world. I receive you. I believe on you. And to those that do that, that open their hearts to him, believe on him, receive that word. Notice you receive that word. He doesn't prove it to you. You choose to believe it. And when you choose to believe it, you have been given the right or the authority to become children of God. To those who believe in his name. Notice that. As many as received him, to them he gave the right, he gave the authority to become children of God to those who believe in his name, who are born not of blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor of the will of man, but of God. So we were given the authority, the right to become children of God because of what Jesus did and because of our response to what Jesus did. And so we're in the earth, not just as mere men and women now, but as children of God. We're sons and daughters of Almighty God. And we carry authority to get the work done that we've been commissioned to do. And we do it in the name of Jesus. He told us what to do as a whole. He commissioned us and told us to go and make disciples. And then he's going to commission each one of us individually as we yield to him to do some specific part of that job. He didn't tell everybody to go everywhere and do everything. So when you read things about what the body of Christ is made up and the different jobs that are in the body of Christ, he didn't tell everybody to do everything. We all have a specific part. But you're going to do it. You're going to act it out. You're going to walk in it in the name of Jesus. You're going to need to act in that name because we are an army here of children of God, and we have an enemy that's opposing us. Satan and his cohorts are occupying here. They are here. Satan is the god of this world, but we've been given authority to go make disciples of those that would receive the word of Christ, like we just read. There are those that have not believed, but that will believe. And we're to go preach the gospel, and as many as receive that word, to them, God has also given authority or the right to receive and to become children of God and to use his name and to walk in authority and to get the job done that we are commissioned to do. You're going to do the job that God has truly given you to do. You're going to need to walk in the authority of the name of Jesus because you are going to be opposed in that. But Satan is no match for the Lord, and he's no match for the name of Jesus. Ephesians 4:26. Let's go there quick. I'm trying to get through these. We have been given authority through Jesus. Through that name, we've been given authority over the enemy. Now, you don't just exercise authority over the enemy just randomly. We need to be going about the Father's business. Okay? The devil cannot stop you when you're going about the Father's business if you'll use the authority that's been vested in you in the name of Jesus. But what some people try to do is they just want to go do their own thing, and then they want to walk in the authority of Jesus. But that's not the way it works. Jesus said, all authority's been given to me. Go therefore and make disciples. See, he told us what to do. He said, the authority's been given to me, and I'm commissioning you and granting you authority to go do something. He didn't say, I'm giving you authority. Now go party and have a good time while you're here. You just live under yourself. Just make sure you're just having a good time all the time. Don't bother about anybody else, and we'll see you soon. He didn't say that. He didn't say, you just do everything, sow to your flesh. Just make sure you're just, you know, your flesh is just gratified all the time. You know, do whatever you want to do. And oh, here's my name to get the job done. What? To get the job done, to go get all kinds of stuff to make you feel good? No. Does God want us to feel okay? Yes. But that's not supposed to lead us and guide us, and that's not supposed to be the primary directive. Our primary directive is to get the job done that we've been given to do while we're here. The time's short. You guys know that's why we're here, right? We've all been given something to do. And we don't all have to go to, you know, you name your country, halfway across the world, three-fourths of around the world, one-fourth, whatever, wherever, part of the world. I got to go there, or else I'm not really doing something for God. Well, somebody's got to be here. Somebody's got to be in the Midwest and California and Florida, and somebody's got to be in Hawaii, and somebody's got to be in the Bahamas, and somebody's got to be in China, and somebody's got to be in Russia. And, you know, we're all called somewhere. And so we get these ideas that somewhere else is more glorious and cooler. And if I were there, I'd be really doing something for God. Listen, I've talked to people that have gone all kinds of different places. Maui, the Cayman Islands. I know somebody that is just moved to the Cayman Islands. They're missionaries to the Cayman Islands. And people say, well, you know, people joke about that. Well, I hope, you know, did you have to pray about that really hard to get God to send you to somewhere like that? Let me tell you, I talk to people. And when you talk to people that you think are called to some place that's just, wow, wouldn't that be cool? You know, there are challenges wherever you go. And when we talk to those people, you know, we know them from the Ministers' Conference in Pennsylvania. There's challenges there. And their flesh doesn't want to necessarily be there. Because when you're there doing that, it's not like you're sitting there on the beach. That's not why you're there. You're there to do the work of the Lord. We know people that were in Maui. And people think, you know, wow. Or no, excuse me, I said Maui. I meant Malibu. Malibu, California. You know, people think, wow, look at all the stuff that's there. You know, no, it's not what it's cracked up to be. There's times they would rather not be there. You know, don't look at that. But we're not called to just go and gratify what we want to do. We're called and commissioned to use the name of Jesus, carrying out our orders in the body of Christ. Did you get that word? Our suggestions? No. Our orders. See, automatically, what does that carry with it? You're going to do the orders. What if you don't agree? What does that... Let me ask you a question. I think we all know enough about this. If an officer in the military tells you to do something, do you have input about it? Well, I don't think that's a good idea. No. You are going to do it or else, right? But people in the body of Christ think, well, no, you know, we just can do whatever we want. I can go to whatever church I want to, and people are like church shopping now. That's totally ungodly. That's totally wrong. Well, and I'm going to leave if I don't like it. Totally wrong again. You know what you were supposed to do? Lord, where would you have me be? Where am I stationed, sir? And you get your orders, you are to be here. Then that doesn't mean you change it when you decide I don't like it. Or somebody made me mad. Somebody said something I don't like. Well, I just think I'll change it. Wait a minute, where did your orders come from? If they came from the Lord, then who should we be asking? We should be going to him and saying, Lord, am I supposed to move here? And so many times, you know, there's not going to be nothing on the other end if we're trying to get God to move. If he's told us what to do, then we need to do that. And we are given authority and commission to get that job done, not the job we want done. So that's a huge difference. People think they can go and just choose what they want to do. Well, I just think I'll be this. I think I'll do this for the Lord. Let me ask you a question. Who's telling you to go there? Who's commissioning you? Because if it's you, there's no backing there. God didn't tell you to do that. If God didn't tell you, you're there and you're like, you know, in the name of Jim, that's not going to work. Number one, if you're going where the Lord would not have you, and yet you're going to resist the devil there, you're already messed up if you're not listening to his order. You're listening, you're being influenced not to listen to him. So you're already on the devil's territory over here, and now you think you're there, and you're going to tear it up for God and resist the devil when the devil's already got you where he wants you. That's foolishness. That's not godly. But so many Christians are thinking they get to choose. I get to choose what church I go to. I can choose, you know, what kind of, they wouldn't say it like this, but what kind of ministry I have. Why? Because, well, I don't want to serve in that area. I want to serve in this area. Again, where did God tell you to go? What's the Lord saying? Well, I like this. So? Whether you like it or not, what did God say? Well, I like this, and this is just what I feel called to. When you say, I feel called to, are you saying the Lord told you, or that's what your flesh likes? See, so many people are using these terms, and they try to sound spiritual, but they don't fool God. You either are called, you are doing what you're called to do, or you're not. And you can try to fool the people around you, but that's not the same as the Lord. The Lord knows what you're supposed to be doing. And you can try to fool everybody around you and try to convince them, I'm doing what the Lord would have me do. See, look at how good this is. But you know in your heart, if you'll be quiet, what you're supposed to be doing. And if you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing, you're going to be miserable. Things aren't going to work the way they should. And you're not going to grow. But if you'll just submit to what the Lord would have you to do, you will grow. And you will get where you're supposed to be, and things will work as they ought to. There's something about being where you're supposed to be. Submitting when you know this isn't exactly what I would choose, but I know I'm supposed to be doing this, and I'm submitted to you, Lord. When you stand up in that, and you've already put your flesh down, and you know you're in the place you ought to be, when something rises up in front of you, you're in a whole different place. You're in a place of authority at that point because you know, and if you know your rights and privileges in God, you just tell that thing, whatever it is and what area of it is, no, you get out of the way in the name of Jesus. Why? You know you're where you're supposed to be, and you're conscious of the fact that this isn't necessarily what I would chosen, but I'm submitting to him. I'm consciously submitting to him. So when something dares to rise its head, you're like, no, I am here. I'm on a mission, and you've got to get out of the way. That's a different position than I know I'm doing this, and I know what God would really have me be doing, but I'm over here doing this that I want to do, and devil move. You're already listening to the devil by being over here. It does not work, and this is why so many people are confused. So many people need to hear this. They need to know that they're not the captain of their life. What do we say? When they receive the Lord, people say, I made Jesus my what? Lord and Savior, people say. And it'll roll right off their tongue. And they don't even listen to what they're saying. If Jesus is your Lord, that means he determines what you do. Does it? Yes. You don't. He's your Lord. He's your Savior, but he's your Lord. That means you don't decide where you're going to go and what you're going to do anymore. He does. Now, he gives you a free will, and the smart person will submit it to him. Lord, is this what you'd have me to do? I'd really like to do this, but is that all right with you? And I don't want to give you an impression that he will have you do things that you don't want to do all the time. Being in the center of God's will is exactly the best place we could ever be. But if I were to tell you it's always just real easy on your flesh, that would be a lie or ignorance, one of the two. That's not true. And you can see it in the Word. You can see people as they obey God. It's not necessarily easy on their flesh, but it will glorify God. And as you put your flesh down, you will become stronger. And you will realize, I mean, Does anybody really believe that knows God that he's going to put you in some place that is going to be a bad thing for you? Is he going to put you in a place that wouldn't be the ideal? If you're listening to him and following his plan for you, by definition, if it's God's plan, it has to be the best plan. If you say it's not, then you're saying somebody else could, God missed it. This is the plan that God has for you, but it's not quite as good as somebody else. Now, in other words, I could figure out a better plan. God, why'd you send me here? I just don't get it. So you don't get it, I don't get it. What does that have to do? I can't see the future. Anybody here can see the future. You know exactly what's going to happen tomorrow. Not anybody could stand up and say that. But God does. So what's it a big deal if I don't understand everything about what's coming in the next 6 months or 4 years or whatever, and he's telling me to be in a certain place? But what if I don't understand? So what do I need to know? What do you want me to do? What is it you would have me to do now? Because if I'm doing what you would have me to do now, I'll be in the right position later. All I have to do continually is make sure I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing, where I'm supposed to be doing it now. And when now is tomorrow, tomorrow's now, I still keep checking. And when next week is now, I'm just checking. So as long as I'm where I'm supposed to be now, I'm good. I don't have to worry about 5 years down the line. God will get me to where I need to be 5 years down the line, as long as I'm always concerned with checking on the inside, am I where I'm supposed to be now? Right? It's really not that hard, is it? We are here on the earth in the body of Christ, commissioned, given authority to do something for the kingdom of God. And he has delegated authority for us to do that thing and not something else. And if we'll get serious and continue to be honest with ourselves and serious about doing that thing, we will see that the name of Jesus will have more significance and will use it as it ought to be used in power and authority, because we're not playing games. You know why so many people use the name of Jesus that find out about it? You know what they're really trying to do? I mean, yes, they want to be delivered from something, but you know what they really want? They want a way to get rid of their problems so they can go back to live their life like they are. That's what they want. I want a magic wand that I can get rid of this problem so I can go do what I want to do. In other words, get rid of this headache so I can go watch TV. Not so I can get up and do what God told me to do. Those are two different things. And so then they wonder why it doesn't work. Why doesn't it work? I just want to get, the name of Jesus doesn't work. What are you going to do? If you had that obstacle removed, what are you doing next? We should ask ourselves that question. If it's, I need to be whole so I can get off this bed and go do what God has told me to do, you won't have a problem. But if it's, I need to get off this couch so I can go to the easy chair so I can reach the remote and I can sit here and gratify my flesh. I'm not saying watching TV is evil. I'm just saying we need to know where we're going and what we're doing. When we're talking about the name of Jesus, we're not talking about it in a vacuum. It is not a magic wand. It's authority to carry out our mission here on the earth. The devils know it. Satan knows it. It's, do we know it? They know it. And they know who knows it. They're not fooled by somebody trying to wield it either. They know whether we believe it or not. If we'll act on what we're talking about here, the word, act on the authority that God has given us through Jesus, we'll see the results that we've been looking for. But this is not a game. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Oh, I didn't get to Ephesians. But I think we were really, in Matthew 18, I think that's really where what we've really been focusing on, that God gave Jesus the highest name in the universe. And he commanded us and delegated that authority and commissioned us to go do something with it. If you know, we've covered some other scriptures and you know, we may continue to go on. But right there, I think we hit what we needed to hit tonight. We can know these other scriptures, but it backs up right here. Are we taking our orders from him? Are we aware of the authority and why that authority exists and what we're supposed to be doing with that authority? If we'll get that right, you get it right that I'm where I'm supposed to be, I'm doing with what I'm supposed to be doing. Now, what are my tools to do it? So I'm commissioned, I'm ready to go. Now you can talk about what have I been given to do my job. But if you're saying, hey, I want to do all those jobs, but I'm not in the right place, why are you even talking about it? If you're supposed to be in Alaska and you're in Louisiana and you're wondering what kind of tools we have in Alaska to get my job done, why even talk about it till you have your boots on the ground in Alaska and are ready to do it? Why? So people want to talk about, well, what if I were there? What does it matter? You can't do anything with it. Well, I need to know, am I in the right place? Am I doing what I'm supposed to do? Am I ready to use the name of Jesus? Because the name of Jesus is going to back me up where I'm supposed to be. So am I doing what I'm supposed to be doing? Am I submitted to God? Am I ready to walk in that authority? If I am, if I can check all those things and I know that, then I am qualified. Yes, the blood of Jesus qualifies us to be his child, as we talked about, but that is going, we can't run away from what he's telling us to do and submit to the devil and then right on the other hand tell the devil to submit to us. That does not work. Amen.